Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, hello, hello. Hi, Dr. Art.
Hello, Dr. Chris, and all our friends out in TV radio land. Thanks for joining.
We're on another week of good stuff for everybody, right? Very excited tonight. It's just us. We don't have a guest tonight, but we're going to be talking about a very important topic, which is confidence. And for those who don't know who we are or what the show is, this is the New Reality Show, obviously. And I'm Dr. Christina Winzi, and this is Dr. Art Emmerich. And we started this show because we wanted to help more people. We both have been helping people one-on-one in our private practices for a very long time. I don't want to say how long, Dr. Art. But, you know, with all the stress going on in the world and everything that people are going through, we felt it was time to do something that create a resource where people could come talk to us, get laser coaching, or just listen to our topics and our tips and tools and things that we hand out, you know, that they get for free to help them with stress. And there's just so much that people are dealing with these days. So we are thrilled to be able to do this.
I started in hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming over 40 years ago. And have just been an avid student ever since that time. And so what we, as Dr. Chris says, with her background, and we really wanted a platform that we could pick topics and bring them to you with a view toward not talking a whole lot about theory, maybe a little bit so you'll know what's behind it, but more practical applications, things that you can do, practices that you can engage in that will literally change your life for the better too.
Exactly. Yes. And my background is as a chiropractic physician. I'm a certified addictionologist. I'm a life success coach and a practitioner of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and other things. But enough about us. We're going to talk about them, about how we can help them. So so we're going to be talking about confidence. What is it? Why do some have more confidence than others? How can you develop confidence? And really, you know, confidence is involved in being able to move forward in your life in positive ways. And so we felt this was a really timely topic because there's so many people out there that really do struggle from not having enough confidence to go after their dreams, their goals. And of the last 2 years, people have been, you know, locked away, beaten down. There's, you know, they may have had dreams and goals. I know a lot of young people who haven't been able to really go after things because they've been in lockdown. And, you know, it's been a crazy time. So we're going to be talking about confidence. And I just wanted to say, if you would like to call into the show, we are going to put the numbers up on the screen. You can talk to us. You can ask us a question if you have input on the topic. And we also will be happy to help you right here on the air. So you see the numbers here. If you call in live, it's 888-627-6008. If you're just listening and not watching, you don't see it on the screen. And that's toll free in the US. And if you're outside the US, you have to dial 1-323-744-4831. So we hope you'll call in. And lastly, I want to also thank our subscribers. We have some faithful subscribers who really help support the show. And if you want to subscribe, if you get value out of this show, we hope you will help support our efforts. The money goes to keeping the lights on, keeping us on the air, and allowing us to continue to pay for radio and the things that we have to do to present the show. So you can see on our homepage, this is where you click to become a subscriber, and you can start for as little as $2.99 a month. So we would be grateful if you do choose to be one. And we definitely want to thank the ones that we already have. Thank you, subscribers, for helping us present the show. Thank you so much. And Dr. Art, you always have a tip of the week.
I have two tips that are kind of joined at the hips here.
All right.
I always give it a one name title, and this one is called Change. So most of the people who come to see us come because they want to change something about their lives. And one of the graphics that I picked up, I want to ask you to imagine this. There'll be another one later, so leave a little room for a second graphic. This one's very simple, a ladder, just a ladder reaching up into the clouds. Let's pretend like you want to climb this ladder, and you all know what to do. You go up and you grab hold of the ladder, you put one foot on a rung, and you step up and you reach up and grab hold of the next one, and then you pull up and you grab the next rung and you put your foot on the next higher one. Now, here's the rule. If you're unwilling to let go of anything, that's as far as you're going to climb. You will never go any higher than that. So my question with my clients is, you want to change something. What are you going to have to be willing to let go of in order to make this change? And a lot of them have never thought of it that way before. But our plates are already full, obviously. You know, we can't keep adding another and adding another and adding another. We got to let go of something at some point. So I would encourage you to start thinking about, so maybe what you have to let go of is in order to make some time in your schedule, or maybe it's to make some physical space in your environment for some new thing to appear. So the second graphic is a star, and it's called the star model of operational change. And it suggests that there is a wonderful sequence that we can go about changing things. So starting with the first point that you want to start with, either the topmost or one of the side ones or one of the two bottom feet. What can you stop doing? And when you stop doing something, that immediately creates some time and maybe some space. Second question then, with the time that you've created, what can you now start doing that you didn't have time or space for before? The third one is, what can you do less of? And the fourth one is, with that time that was created, what can you now do more of that's a higher payoff thing? Now, with whatever's left, the fifth one is, what can you do better? So that has to do with the way you're doing things. So it's a stop, start, less, more, better.
So we've got a five-pointed star.
And that sequence really works well. Don't start with doing things better and then finding out, well, I didn't even really need to do that at all. You know, so really save the do it better until the last to be more effective. So those are my tips. Yes,
I love those. So you're climbing a ladder and you can't go higher unless you let go of something. So
what is
you're
that?
Saying let go of something so that you are free to move up.
To move up again, yeah.
And a five-pointed star. So if you look at it as step one, say that again. Step one is?
What are you going to stop doing?
All right. Kind of like, what are you going to let go of?
What are you going to let go of? Yeah.
And with the time you made there, what are you going to start doing? Okay. And
what are you going to do less of?
Okay.
So that you can do more of something else.
Right.
And with whatever that's left, what can you do better?
I love that, Dr. Art. I love that.
Kind of like a wheel, pretty crude, simple tool, but very, very powerful and effective. So just like to give in these tips some things that will help you make better sense of your life, you know, how to live it better.
No, I think it's awesome. And, you know, it reminds me so much of most of my clients are super busy power women that, you know, they come to me, a lot of my clients do, because of the addiction, the food addiction. They are high achievers. They are, you know, very productive, but they can't stop overeating. But at the same time, that's tied into all the busyness. And they tell me, I can't find 15 minutes to meditate. I can't find, you know, and some of them have children and or an aging parent. And the thing is that this tip actually has it. I'm going to use it because normally I just encourage them to take 15 minutes a day. And even that is precious to them. But no, this is great. I love it. Good. I love it. As usual.
Short course in time management.
There you go. Well, why don't we get to our topic, which is what is confidence? And, you know, you would think that this is confidence is confidence. You know, why do I need to explain it? But really, confidence has to do with your feelings and your beliefs about yourself and about what you're capable of. And it is what allows you to move forward in life, because if you had no confidence, and there are people who have very low confidence, you don't feel like you can accomplish anything. And so it's really about your feelings and beliefs about yourself, negative emotions, fears, doubts. It keeps people from trying things. It keeps people from going after their goals. So, you know, without a technical description, it's really, how do we change the feelings people have, the beliefs they have about themselves?
And if you think about it, we were not born lacking confidence. If you think of a baby learning to walk, they are just filled with confidence that they're going to do it. They're going to succeed, mm-hmm. even though they fall over 1,000 times learning how to walk. It never occurs to them that they're not going to succeed at this. So it's one of the things is the way they process feedback that just means I'm not failing. I just haven't quite figured out how to do it exactly right yet, but I'm getting there. I found a wonderful quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. What could we accomplish if we knew we could not fail?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really powerful. And it has to do with if you really had enough confidence, you would know that if I keep working at it like the baby does, I will succeed. I might not succeed in the first try or the 10th try or the 15th try or whatever, but I will succeed. The only way I'll fail is if I quit.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a failure. But as I was looking up the definition of confidence, I kept running into feeling or belief, feeling or belief, feeling or belief. So this has to be something contaminates a positive feeling or belief that we are going to succeed. And it just destroys that. And I was looking for, so what would some of the things be that could contaminate that? And have us doubt. If we had an experience that caused us to be really careful about trusting other people, that somebody violated a trust, that would destroy some confidence that we might have. If we don't feel competent, then we probably don't have as much confidence because we're not really sure that we can do this or whatever this thing is.
Mm-hmm.
if we believe that something is good, and we're not really sure whether it is or not, believe that something is going to happen that's really good, or conscious of our own power, that, so we feel empowered. People who do not feel empowered because maybe they've been emotionally or psychologically beaten up a lot, and they just don't have that. So that can rob us of confidence. So what we're dealing with as coaches in that area, a lot of times is going back to best I can tell is when we were very, very young, we did not have something that we as adults have. It's called a critical function. Critical function is like a filter. I hear something that says, Art, you're stupid. I can say, oh, I don't agree with that. I'm not letting that go into my identity, you know. Mm-hmm. Children, up until about the age 12, do not have that filter. Mm-hmm. If we tell them that they're dumb or that they're incompetent in whatever way, it goes straight into their unconscious mind and becomes part of the way they know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're told who they are by adults who ought to know better, and they trust those adults to give them accurate information. And if parents only realize what they sometimes say in anger will last a child for the rest of their life and be a negative influence on them because the child doesn't know. So what Dr. Chris and I are dealing with is here's somebody that's had this idea implanted before they even knew that they had a choice about it.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we effect some change in that? Something that would make it not be the troublesome thing that it is for them.
One of the things that that I do with EFT, emotional freedom technique, mm-hmm. that's very powerful. You know, the other, in corollary to what you're talking about, we not only have the original situation that happens where as children we have no filter and we take in what's said to us that lowers our confidence in our belief in self. If you're robbed of, if someone betrays your trust, you lose confidence in your own ability to discern. Mm-hmm. Well, then you've made a neural connection. You've made some kind of neural net in your brain about that. And what happens is as you go through your life, other situations that remind you of that get associated neurologically with that original situation, but you're not necessarily conscious of it.
Right.
So when we work on issues that are causing either stress overeating or whether it's confidence, whether it's productivity, whether it's happiness in relationships, whatever we're working on, we also look at what was a situation where this might have begun. And it's amazing when you start the awareness, when you ask the question of where did this come from, the subconscious will give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, you know, there are a lot of people who know where their trauma came from. They know what happened to them. And then there are people who, you know, while we're working with them, they go, you know what? I'm having a memory that I had buried. Mm-hmm. And so as we work on the beauty of working with the subconscious mind and using mind body tools like NLP, like EFT, and even cognitive behavioral concepts with people, is that you can eliminate past hurts while working on present ones. One of the things that happens in EFT is if you have, let's say you have 100 situations that are very similar and have created a neurological connection that all create this response of, I have no confidence, I can't do it, I'm not good enough. And you begin to work on the ones that are the most intense. And eventually, it's like a forest where you fell one tree, and then another tree, and then another tree, and then the power of those trees falling can fell the other trees. And so it's an amazing thing when you can help somebody to eliminate the thing that caused the confidence issue, even if they're not, you know, you don't have to go lie on a couch and talk about the issue forever. And this is not to say that therapy is not valid. It's very valid. Finding out what happened is a very important thing. But then what do you do with it? So anyway.
I use the log jam analogy the same way. Sometimes the river's all jammed up and you can move one or two logs and the whole thing breaks through and starts flowing down the river then. So
yeah,
if we can find those barriers that are causing the log jam, and we work with people. One of the things that I've learned that we think we know anyway about the unconscious is once an event occurs, that is neurologically burned in, and it is there forever. We cannot make it disappear or take it out. However, a very important aspect of that is what that means, that event, of that situation. It has been assigned by us. We say, well, this happens and that means X. Well, as it turns out, the meaning comes right out of our head. There is no meaning in the event itself. So one of the things that we can do, which is a neurological...
give an example, Art. I don't mean to interrupt you, but when you say there is no meaning in the event itself...
Yeah. Well, just one of the classic examples is a woman who had really run all of her family and friends away. They didn't want to be around her anymore. And so she came to see a hypnotist, and he was working with her, and he came over to her house really to find out if there was any clue there. And she had a house full, you can tell how old the story is, full of shag carpet. And she spent her days combing this shag carpet and getting it all pointed in the same direction. And it was absolutely beautiful. You know, it was just laid out exactly right. And when her family used to come home, they would tromp all over her carpet. And she would yell at them and get, look what you've done to my carpet. I just got it all straightened out. And now you trample it all down. I got to go back and do well. Well, pretty soon they didn't want to come in the house anymore because they had to step on carpet, as her friends did also. And so hearing that, the hypnotist said, well, to you, that means they messed up my rug, all my work. And what if it meant to you that those footprints meant that your family and your friends were around, that you could relate with them because they were close to you and they were in your home? And instead of the trample carpet having a negative meaning, it would have a very positive one. That's called reframing.
Mm-hmm.
So the event, exactly the same, mashed down carpet that it took hours to straighten out, all of a sudden meant something different. It meant, oh, I've got friends and family around me, and aren't I a lucky person to have that? Because a lot of people don't. So so it didn't change the event at all. It just changed what it meant to her.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I'll think of some other reframing examples as we go along here.
Sure. Because yeah.
So somebody says, well, that person was mean to me, and that means they hate me or whatever. Well, that is a meaning which has come right out of your head. You said that's what it means. Maybe they just had a bad day, you know, maybe they weren't even aware of what they had said to you, but until you have a chance to ascribe a new and different meaning, it'll stay that way. That's what it means to you. And anything that's ever happened to us. A parent who was really, really a terrible parent, maybe shouldn't have had children to begin with. And a person can blame them for all this bad treatment that they got as a child. Mm-hmm. It has been reframed before as they were doing the best they knew how. Mm-hmm. They can't give what they didn't have to give. Mm-hmm. And that was their best. And if you want to hold them accountable for doing their best, well, you can if you want to. It doesn't really help a whole lot. But just believe that their heart's in the right place. They just don't know how to do what you needed. They don't know how to be what you needed. But blaming them and attributing intention on their part, to do bad, that's really not getting anybody anywhere. So let's go and give it a better meaning.
Yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying. And we're going to relate it to confidence in a minute. I just want to do a station break.
Sure.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to The New Reality Show with Dr. Christina Winzey, that's me, and Dr. Art Emmerich. And tonight we're talking about confidence. What is it? Why do some people have more of it than others? And how can you improve your level of confidence? And that's part of what Dr. Art was just talking about, is something called reframing, because when you create meaning in your to the negative from something, you can interpret it to lower your confidence, whereas you can also interpret it to raise your confidence. I just want to give the call-in number. If you would like to talk to us, if you'd like to make a comment, if you'd like to ask a question, if you would like to get some laser coaching, then you can call in directly. If you're in the United States, it's 888-627-6008, and that is toll-free in the United States. If you're outside the United States, 1-323-744-4831. So back to our topic, Dr. Art. I really love the whole concept of reframing. And we actually touched on that in the last show, I think, because it's such a powerful, topic and tool.
Anytime I have a client that says, and that means X, and it's a negative thing, I always ask the question of what else might that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What else could that mean? What's something that it could mean that would give the person the benefit of the doubt? You know, mm-hmm. what else could be? And all of a sudden that opens up a whole new awareness of, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
I was assuming that I knew what something meant and I didn't really, I was guessing. And I guess the worst possible thing. So,
and we do that so often, don't we?
We're drawn to the negative for some reason. I don't know why, but
it's so much of people thinking, what does that mean about me? What does that mean about me? And this is I remember saying this to my teenagers. It has nothing to do with you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about whatever it was, and it's interesting, if someone does something in their own way and somebody else doesn't really like the way they did it, they can either interpret that to mean I'm not doing it well enough, or they can interpret it to mean, oh, you do it differently. Okay. And, just from a practical standpoint, knowing that, like, women who, and I'm guilty too, when my kids were little and they wanted to help me cook and I was in a hurry to get dinner on the table and, or they wanted to do the dishes and they didn't do them quite right. And yes, little kids want to do the dishes. It's amazing. So, you can either be controlling and say, no, you're not doing it right. And you can criticize and tell the person they're not doing it right, but they're really just doing it their way, and be happy that it's being done. So yeah. Anyway, I'm a little off topic, but you wanted to review the concept of parts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in regards to developing, what are the barriers to developing confidence? Yes. And then we can talk about more how to develop confidence.
Yeah. Well, the barriers seem to be insecurity. If we don't feel secure, we probably are not going to develop much confidence. Self-doubt and self-distrust. And so I always am curious about what is it that causes us to doubt ourselves or doubt something. And it seems like that we have learned, we've had some experiences that said, my judgment's not that good. You know, I thought I knew somebody or knew what was going to happen. As it turns out, I was missed by a mile. And so I don't trust myself. I don't trust my judgment. And that is a confidence robbing experience that we go through. So it's this idea of how do you develop confidence in yourself when you've had these experiences that said, you know, my judgment wasn't that good. And so it is a process of going back a lot of times. What do you know? What are you confident about? You know that tomorrow is going to be Saturday. All right. So, and I want you to go through as long a list of things that you know to build up the idea. I know a lot. I really do. I can trust myself, my knowledge about something. I know me. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night and I'm going to have a hard time going back to sleep. Darn, I wish I didn't know that, but I do know it. So that's another thing that I know. And as you build up an inventory of the things that you are sure of, it will help you develop confidence, because confidence, as we said before, it's a belief that causes a feeling. And it's the feeling is what lack of confidence. It feels bad. And you recognize it has a unique feeling to it, that this lack of confidence.
It does.
And it all comes from some belief that you've had that is that comes true, unfortunately, for you. And it reinforces this idea. Well, see, I was right. I didn't do it right, or I didn't know the answer. Whatever. So, it's going to require probably you setting up with your coach a list of practices that you can go through every day to build up your confidence, which means build up your belief in your own judgment, build up your belief in yourself. And so this idea that we were saying before, competence and having making judgments that turn out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
You were also, though, on the path of talking about parts. And one of the things that is so important when we talk about barriers to confidence, mm-hmm. is, yes, totally, it's a feeling. It can be such a strong feeling, like when a young man wants to ask a girl out and he's shaking in his boots, you know, or vice versa. When you have to go on an interview for a very important job and you're just so nervous, you can literally psych yourself out. And that's when all the lack of confidence demons can come up. So it is a feeling that you tap into. And there is this concept of parts, is that we were talking before the show a few days ago, we talked about identity factor or your critical view of yourself. And so the barrier to having more confidence is this part of you that is used to you being a certain way. So you know yourself, your family knows you, your friends know you in one particular way. And that particular way is someone who doesn't have confidence, or who is you know, doesn't have confidence in a certain area, or who always does whatever to please the other people. And you want to develop confidence, and it means that you might have to change how you interact with your family and friends and how you see yourself. And it's when you've got this identity that you've had all your life, and then you want to make a change, all of a sudden it's like the ladder. What are you going to let go of so that you can move? What are you going to let go of in terms of how you're interacting with your family, your coworkers, your friends, and even with yourself? How are you communicating with yourself that is holding you back? And you kind of hit up against the ceiling of what your identity factor, what you know yourself to be thus far, you hit against that when you try to move past it. And that's where people fall back. They don't push past that ceiling if they have so much invested in these relationships and in this way of being. So that's where the parts part.
One of the things we found is that family and friends will inadvertently collude to keep you from changing. They know you in this old way. They don't know who this new you is going to be. They're not sure they're going to like this new you. And so they will either subtly or not so subtly exert influences to keep you exactly where you are. So sometimes it's not only overcoming your own maybe lack of courage and, you know, and belief in yourself, but also having to go up against a very large group of other people who's maybe it's in their best interest that you don't change. You know, they've come to predict them. But the idea of parts is a fascinating one. It was probably more thoroughly developed by Dr. Milton Erickson, who's kind of the father of modern hypnotherapy, in his work with obese women. And he would hypnotize them and ask them, why are you carrying this extra weight around? And he got so many of them that told the same story. When I'm slim, and I was slim at one time, I was very attractive, and I used to get hit on a lot, and I didn't know how to handle that. And I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what to do. Well, that's the birth of a part when it says, oh, this person's in trouble. They don't know what to do. I will come in to the rescue and I will solve this problem. I will make you so big and fat that nobody will ever look at you in that way again. So the part now has set itself up apart from the wholeness of you, the rest of you, to say, I'm going to have this person overeat. And that's going to solve the problem that I identified. And good for me. Boy, I did a great job. This person is truly not somebody who would ever be looked at in that way. So to negotiate with a part and say, I want to compliment you for your constantly being on guard and achieving the goal that you set. You're really masterful at that. Unfortunately, what you don't realize is that the solution you've come up with is causing me many, many other problems. They could be health problems. They could be self-esteem problems. They could be wardrobe problems. There are any number of other things that, you know, would be involved, which the part does not know or care about. All it cares about, I had this problem, I solved it, I like the way I did it. So if you want me to do something different, don't insult me and don't criticize me. Help me understand how would I do that? Mm-hmm. So we say, well, you've got some creative parts. And what I'd like for you to do is work with them in some brainstorming sessions and see if you can come up with three other ways that you could accomplish this goal that don't involve a lot of weight gain. And there are many others available, but that you got to be the judge of whether they work for you or not. So Erickson would wake the women up from their hypnotic trance state and say, I want you to learn martial arts, karate, judo, aikido, whatever you want, but learn a martial art and get pretty far up in the belt. So it doesn't have to be a black belt, but it's got to be on it. And they say, oh, you mean for weight loss? And you say, no, for physically fighting with somebody, you know. I said, okay, I don't know what I need that for, you know. So they would go off, and at some belt level, the weight just started falling away. And what happened was they realized they didn't need that weight in order to protect themselves. If somebody said something that was inappropriate, how they could just pull their arm off and beat them over the head with it or whatever. You know? I mean, it's that kind of confidence that I can take care of myself. I don't need a cushion, a barrier to that.
Right. Yeah.
So Erickson developed this process. If you want to deal with parts, you've got to be very respectful. You may or may not know what their intention is. Sometimes they don't want to tell you, but you can rest assured that it is always because they have your best interest at heart. They are designed to take care of you. And they are concerned about doing that in a way that will keep you from being hurt physically or emotionally, that would keep you from being embarrassed. Anything that they see would be not good. So I had a client, a very attractive young girl. I don't know if I talked about this before, moved down from New York City, needed a job, and applied at the fire department. And she was on probation. They have a thing until you pass certain tests, you're on probation. And she had passed everything except the physical exam, where she had to do 9 things in 7 minutes. And it was things like run over, pull a ladder off the wall, run across the room with it, extend it up to a platform, grab up some breathing apparatus that weigh about 50 pounds, put one of them on, climb up the ladder, and then pull the other ones up to the platform, and then lower them back down, and then come back down and fold the ladder up, run over and put it on the wall, things like that. The last one was to put her arms underneath the shoulders of a burlap bag dummy that weighed 200 pounds and drag that dummy 100 feet across the room, just pulling it backward. Didn't have to lift it up, but just drag it. She would get her arms underneath the dummy, and there she would sit, frozen. I said, so you're tired by the end of that time? No, I'm not tired. I said, why don't you just go ahead and do it? She said, I'm frozen, like a deer in the headlights. I cannot move. As soon as they say, time's up, I can drag that dummy all over the firehouse, but I cannot do it when the timing's on. So we worked on some various different approaches that I thought would work, and they didn't. She'd go out the next day and flunk the test again. And finally they said, okay, this is your last chance. And I don't know why I didn't think of it before, but I thought of maybe there's a part of her that doesn't want her to pass the test. So I told her about parts, and I always let my clients know we do the cognitive work first, so they know what's coming. Then I hypnotize them. I said, is there a part? Yes, there is. Would you talk with me? Yeah, do that. Would you tell me why you don't want her to pass this test? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. She's an attractive young woman, tall, willowy blonde, and she just moved from New York, and she doesn't know anybody, but she'll get some girlfriends, and they'll go out, and they'll be out somewhere, and a bunch of guys will see them, and they'll come over, and she'll meet some guy, and she'll be interested in one of them that's interested in her, and they'll start dating, and then they'll get married, and then they'll have children. And I just don't think it's right for a woman with children at home to be out fighting fires. You know, that's just too dangerous. And I said,
well, now she said this under hypnosis, correct?
Under hypnosis. She did not know consciously what was going on here.
Okay.
So I said, can I tell her what you're telling me? Oh, sure. Yeah, it's fine. So I woke her up and I told her, and she just laughed. She thought that was, she said, I don't even know anybody. This part's got me married with children at home. And I said, look, this part is looking out for you in a way that it thinks you're not considering the long-term consequences of what you're doing here. Parts are looking out to protect you in any way they can, in ways they don't think you're doing a very good job or the rest of you is not doing a good job. So I said, would you allow me to negotiate with this part on your behalf? She said, sure, go ahead. So I hypnotized her again, and I said, this woman has to pass this test or she will not be allowed to stay on probationary status, even of the fire department. She's not going to be fighting a fire at the result of this. She just passed the next level. She's got to go through EMT, this emergency medical technician training, and any number of other tests, equipment tests and everything, before she'll be allowed to fight a fire. But she has to pass this one in order to keep the job. So would you allow her to pass this particular test? Silence for a pretty good while. And finally, she said, yes, I would. As long as I can make her fail something later on, I will let her pass this one. Said, so she can go out tomorrow and pass. Last chance. This has got, yep, no problem. She went out the next day and passed the test. So it's just a wonderful example of how parts really do want the best for us as they see them. Mm-hmm. And we have parts all the time that are worried about, they don't want us to be laughed at. They don't want us to be, another example was a man who wrote the textbook, college professor, would get up in front of the class and go blank. Didn't have to just say class dismissed. I don't know what I was going to say. And he found out that person was referred to him. And he found out, again, hypnotized the person and said, what's going on? And it said, this is a perfectionist. And he has run off his children, his wife, his family, all of his friends, because he's so mean and tough on him. You know, he expects him to be perfect, like he thinks he's perfect. So I just thought, well, I'll just knock him down a notch or two. I'll just have him blank out in front of his class. That'll show him he's not perfect. And then he'll get the message, and then he'll ease up on everybody else. And I said, so wonderful thought. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but what you don't realize is he's in danger of losing his job now. He's lost everything else. So is there any other way you could do this? And so we got the creative parts, you know, he got him to work with him, and he said, I'm going to wake you up and tell you that I need to see you in 30 days. But meanwhile, I want you to apply whatever new ways you've got to deal with this perfectionism, and allow this man to remember what he's going to say in his lectures. And he said, okay, I'll do that. And so the man called him the day before the appointment, a month later, and said, I'm not coming in because I don't have the problem anymore. And Erickson said, that's wonderful. I am so glad to hear it. And the guy was convinced that Erickson had nothing to do with it. And of course, Erickson knew that he did. But it's an example of how parts sometimes want you to know what they're doing. Sometimes they'd rather you not. But we can always negotiate with them. Even if we don't know the intent, we can be assured that it's for your best interest. It's not just trying to be a nuisance or sabotage you or make life miserable. It has something in mind, and the way it's going about it is causing some secondary, tertiary problem. So we just negotiate with the part and see if it'll come up with a different way of doing it. You know?
Well, what comes to mind, that's brilliant stuff, Dr. Art. What comes to mind is how can we help people now to develop confidence with this whole concept? And you don't necessarily have to be hypnotized to negotiate with a part.
Absolutely.
You can
not.
Actually, on your own, ask your subconscious mind to reveal to you what its objective is, what is the payoff. It's kind of, you know, the payoff for the professor was that he would remain perfect, or yeah. You know, the payoff for the young woman was that she was protected from a career that she couldn't do because she'd be having children. Right. You know, mm-hmm. it's crazy in some ways what the subconscious mind will come up with.
Really is.
But if someone wants to develop confidence, looking at where am I not confident that I want confidence? And how have I sabotaged myself thus far? Mm-hmm. And in sabotaging myself, what has been the outcome? For most people, same old, same old. I didn't accomplish this, so I'm back to where I was. I didn't do this, so now I'm back to where I was. And that is a sure sign that the payoff is being where you were stuck. Mm-hmm. And so it requires that you really ask yourself, what is this payoff and what am I getting from it? And then looking at that whole ladder tip of I want to go here. And every time I've tried to go here, I've sabotaged myself because I was afraid of losing my husband. I was afraid of losing my job. I was afraid that I wouldn't ever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you can do this on your own.
Absolutely. Asking.
Yeah. And one of the techniques with Silva mind control is getting a glass of water before you go to bed, small ones. So you don't have mm-hmm. to get up and pee in the middle of the night, but yeah. You drink half the water. And while you're drinking it, you go into a quiet state. And just before you drink it, you say, this is all I need to do to find the answer to the question I have in mind. And then you drink half the water. And then in the morning, when you wake up, you say to yourself, this was all I needed to do to find the answer to the question I have in mind. And of course, you ask the question before you go to bed. And then you drink the rest of the water and you go about your day. And eventually, your subconscious mind will come up with the answer. It could be an inkling that comes to you. It's amazing how your subconscious will bring something forward. Yeah. And with that, I want to move into, because we're running out of time, I want to move into what you had here, which was affirmations instead of affirmations to develop confidence, because we promised people right. that we would help them develop confidence. So right. we talked about a variety of things. And any of Dr. Art's tips, by the way, you can write to contact nrshow@gmail.com. And we will be happy to send you his free tips. And that email is on our show page. So if you need to write to us, we're happy to hear from you. We'd love to hear your comments on the show. We'd love any kind of encouragement. And we'd also like some honest feedback. But before we go, we have about 2 or 3, maybe 4 minutes to go into how can they develop more confidence with affirmations instead okay. of affirmations. Yeah.
When you affirm something, you say, this is true. I'm affirming this fact. A lot of times that will trigger what's called the critical function, which if it's not true yet, it will attack it. If it doesn't believe it will ever be true, it will attack it. And so if it's something that you want and it's different from the way you are now, your critical function says, what makes you think that's going to happen? You've been this way for the last 40 years. That ain't gonna, you know, and it'll undermine everything. So Noah St. John, a psychologist, came up with the idea, instead of making a statement about the way something is that will attract the critical function, what if you just ask a question? And so if you wanted to have self-confidence, for example, that's what you wanted, instead of saying, I am self-confident, or if you say, I will be self-confident in the future, then the future never gets here, and that's not going to work. If you say, I am a self-confident person now, your critical function says, no, you're not. You never have been, so give it up. If you ask a question, and the question always has a form to it, how is it that I am more confident this week than I was last week? How is it that I'm going to be more confident next week than I am now? So you ask this question that presumes that you're going to get what you want. It doesn't trigger
critical function
to get up and criticize anything because you haven't made a statement. You just ask a question. And what happens then, because our unconscious is a built-in problem solver, it will say, well, your conscious mind obviously doesn't know the answer to that question you're asking, or you wouldn't be asking the question. And I'll go find out all the answers that I can find that will suffice. And I will feed them to the conscious mind and let it be the final judge about whether it likes the answers I'm coming up with. So you do get answers, but how is it that you're more confident this week than you were last week? It'll tell you all kind of different reasons for that, ways that you were. And you just need to review them and pick the ones that you like and start using those. You know, that's the way you build it. There's
that's
another
awesome.
One that I wanted to mention that was really easy and something that people have done. It's called behavior modeling. Do you know anybody who has a quality that you're trying to develop or that you would like to have? And so if you know somebody, and it doesn't have to be a personal, you can know about them. It could be Albert Einstein or George Washington, whoever. Just say, when you get to the situation where you really need that particular aspect of yourself, just say, what would Albert do in a case like this? Or what would George do in this situation? And here's the cool thing is that your unconscious knows way more about those people than you ever would guess that it knows. Mm-hmm. And it will tell you answers that will cause you to develop self-confidence and trust that you can do this thing or be this certain way that you want to be. But just ask yourself, you know, what would so-and-so do?
I love that.
Good friends. And it's a very easy, very quick, and very powerful way to manage it.
That's awesome. And, you know, the last but not least is that when you're scared about doing something because of lack of confidence, one of the best ways is to actually just go do it and realize that you made it through. You've seen movies where people have been scared to do something and they've gone after it and done it. And then it's like, you know, the person that did the 4-minute mile, until that was done, nobody else thought they could do it. Well, do that for yourself. If you have something that's challenging you, one of the best ways to tackle that fear and that low confidence is to say, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. So
yeah,
with that, Dr.
If you want to do something and you're afraid, that doesn't mean that you are not courageous. It means you have fear and you go and do it anyway.
Yeah.
That's the way you develop confidence.
Exactly. We are running out of time. In fact, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you've gotten benefit from this show. And we will be back next week with another powerful new reality talk to help you create your new reality. So good night, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Art.
Good night. And thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Dr. Chris.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.